Hey everyone, this amazing ESO Network show is brought to you by our fine sponsor, Amazon.com. Please remember to shop Amazon for all your geeky needs, no matter what time of the year it is. All you need to do is go to ESOpodcast.com/ESOAmazon or click on the Amazon banner on the ESO Network webpage to go to our e-store. It's the best way to shop and the best way to support this program, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. Okay, that's enough of me babbling for now. Now on with your regular scheduled show.
Hello, my name is Jay Patrick, and that is Adam.
Hello.
Join us for the Adam and JP Show.
Hello.
Available on iTunes and Stitcher Radio.
Hello.
Get it now.
Hello.
Oh, we're just kidding. If you love comics, video games, movies, wrestling.
Who doesn't? These are all great things that make us who we are.
That's true. Then you should join us for the Adam and JP Show. You actually can get it on iTunes and Stitcher Radio.
Yeah, that part was true.
And right here on the ESO Network.
And AdamandJP.com.
And welcome again to the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast. I am your host, The Monster. Yes, that is my voice, and I'm not doing any filter whatsoever. It is now almost 7 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday, my day off. I am doing another podcast. Why? Because I'm not going to have any other time to do this. I am literally wide awake because of my stupid body clock. And two, this podcast needed to come out already because I was behind on the previous one, which was released yesterday. So, I do have my usual big three topics in which I was going to talk about. I do have some directing news. I have information about the new Teen Titans Young Justice series coming to the small screen, and I wanted to talk about the underwhelming marketing of the new Wonder Woman that's coming out on June 2nd. And as a bonus, I'm going to be talking about the first episode of The Handmaid's Tale with Elizabeth Moss that appeared on Hulu. So I am still with Hulu, even though I'm mad that they lost a lot of great shows due to licensing. Any case, before we even get started, let me get into some sad news. We lost Powerless, which was on NBC, and it was a comedy show in which you're talking about a set of characters that are in the DC universe, so to speak, that are not really heroes, they don't have superpowers, but they're just normal, everyday citizens living in a world that happens to have superheroes and just living their lives around the consequences or having the effects from whatever things that happen to them as a result. So, and then I really didn't think this was going to be a long-lasting series, but I didn't think that we would get this to be pulled so quickly. So we still have a couple episodes that were yet to be aired, and maybe down the road Hulu can pick it up and show the last remaining bits. Honestly, I thought the writing was top-notch, the casting was great, the humor was surprisingly good. So I'm really sad that that has now been pulled. The other sad news, Erin Moran. If you know her, she is Joni, that she played a character on Happy Days. And Happy Days, as well as countless other people who grew up watching that show since the very beginning, thought that her character, Joni, and her were amazingly cute and funny and witty. And, you know, watching her grow up just like I did, I could not have a bigger crush on someone that I saw on TV. So it is with sad passing that she's dead, and it looked like she was dealing with stage 4 cancer, I believe. She really had a hard time after the series had ended, but it seemed as if ever since that spinoff with Joni Loves Chachi, that things really didn't go well after that. So I'm sorry that she is no longer here, but as I've always said, the only good thing that I can take from all this is that if the person it was in pain or suffering, that has now ended. So now they can be at peace. So it's sad news. And again, and I've always said this, people die every day. And there are some that make more of a connection to me. And this just happened to be one of those people. So, and there is kind of a sci-fi reference here. And it's a really bad sci-fi movie if you ever want to see it. But it's called Galaxy of Terror. She was in it, and she wasn't too bad. That was the only thing that I know of that she did after Happy Days. So, all right. I had three pieces of news for directors, which I could have done the whole podcast around them and then been satisfied with that. But I figured, let me lump them all together. Do you remember how much the first Sixth Sense movie was and Unbreakable was, or The Village? Remember how good M. Night Shyamalan used to be? Yeah, I remember those days. But apparently he's still around. And what makes me question is, like, why is he still around? Well, because somehow he's done better movies that are less costly but make a bajillion dollars. So that has now been his success. So rather than having the stories that we loved right from the very beginning with a twist, we now see stories in which he still is doing basically the same kind of stories, but for much less. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's actually, I would go full throttle with directors who know how to tell a good story for less money. So that, I think, forces many directors to be more and more creative with limited budgets. And I see that as a bonus, such as the director from The Get Out. Again, very low budget, made millions of dollars. So this is no surprise that now we are getting a sequel to his last movie called Split with James McAvoy. What's even better is that the movie Unbreakable with Bruce Willis, which as a comic book fan, you cannot rule that movie out. You have to be in love with that movie. It is the greatest, almost an origin story for a superhero. But that movie and the movie of Split with James McAvoy are going to get a sequel called Glass. And if you know the reference, Glass is the character that was in Unbreakable. So, since I have not seen Split, and from what I've been reading, is that that is the last shot or so, or somewhere in the end of the movie, there was a connection to Unbreakable. So with that, the two worlds of Unbreakable and Split will be in now a third movie. And I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. So for years upon years upon years waiting for an Unbreakable sequel, we're going to get that. And I just cannot believe this is actually going to happen after all this time. So for that, because he tweeted out on the 26th that he is finally done with the script, and the date on that, let me get that real quick, we're looking at January 18th 2019. So we got some time from now, but still, now that we know the date, now that we know when this is coming, now I have something to live for aside from everything else that I love. But again, if you have not seen Unbreakable, do yourself a favor, check it out. It is fantastic. Again, his early stuff, fantastic. And now I have to go watch Split because I want to see how that movie is going to be connected to Unbreakable. So, very exciting news about that. Now, let's move on to the second part. we have, if you're a fan of zombies, I am still. Well, if you liked World War Z, be prepared. We may get World War Z 2, Electric Boogaloo. A sequel is actually coming out, supposedly. And David Fincher, who is now close to being attached to that project, will direct. Which is kind of weird because, first off, Mark Forster, who did the original one, is not coming back for the sequel, which is okay in my book. I've always felt that directors who did great in one movie and try to do a follow-up rarely do not do a great job. We'll see what happens with Guardians of the Galaxy 2 that's coming out this week. But he's moved on to... I can't believe this is actually happening, but... he's doing a Christopher Robin movie, a live-action Winnie the Pooh movie, but it's with Ewan McGregor. And he's playing Christopher Robin. So, okay. I don't know how that's going to work out, but... it's not World War Z 2. That's fine. Now, as far as David Fincher, you know, he has a very long career in making great music videos. And his first really full-length feature film was Alien 3, which I really, really hated. But he's done great stuff since then. One of my favorite movies, The Social Network, 7... The Curious Case of Benjamin. The Curious Case of Benjamin Button. It is still early for me. But nonetheless, he looks like he's going to be doing this as well. Now, considering I don't consider him to be a B-grade director. But coming into a sequel, I would not think that he would be interested in doing that. But nonetheless, if this is what he wants to do, I'm on board with that, but we'll see how the story is going to progress. I thought it ended perfectly the way it did, considering the problems that they had initially with the ending being not working, basically. So they had to reshoot the whole ending, which was a completely, I'm not going to say, what's the right word? There was a climax, but it wasn't the same kind of climax that you saw in the middle of the film. They felt that because you had that great moment in Israel, the whole civilization or whatever collapsing, and then you had the whole airplane sequence, that it just seems that you're trying to overdo what you just did as far as action sequences. So they just changed it completely and they went a different direction, which I thought was a much more effective moment in which the solution and the resolution came together perfectly at the end. And I'm not going to spoil it other than if you haven't seen it, do yourself a favor and watch it. It's definitely worth your time. So considering they found the cure at the end, we'll see how they're going to get this going again. So I'm hoping that, oh no, we were wrong. Now we're there more of them. So, I don't know. But still, having David Fincher attached to this project, I think that'll be a boost. So, I don't have any information about that other than there is definitely a close and almost definite interest of that making a reality. My third piece of news in which I'm like, oh yeah, this is going to be great. I can't believe this is going to happen. It's not going to happen. Robert Zemeckis was rumored to have a meeting with the people who are going to be making the Flash movie. So, the last director dropped out. So I'm like, okay, so we have a big opening wound that has to be sealed soon. And they're going to have Robert Zemeckis. I'm like, that will be fantastic. I mean, if he'd like Contact or Forrest Gump, you know, Back to the Future guy, you cannot have a better person, except that he's not going to be doing this. So, like 2 days later, we find out he's not going to be doing this at all because he's got another movie coming out in 2018, which was the time the Flash movie was supposed to come out. So, forget that. That's not going to happen. So, what's going to happen now with the Flash movie? I don't know. The only thing that I see attached to the story or to the Flash movie is that Ezra Miller is Barry Allen. We're going to see him in the two Justice League movies. We are going to get Victor Stone, who is Ray Fisher, who plays Cyborg, also attached to this. And we do have Iris West by Kersey Clemons, I don't know who she is, and Billy Crudup, who plays Henry Allen, which I'm assuming is the father. So that's on the IMDb page, and now the date of the Flash movie has been moved from 2018 to 2020. So, come on, folks. DC, get your act together. We got to have nailed this down. We should have had this done as a closed deal. This should not be, again, an open wound for DC. But that's what we have for right now. So let's move on also to some news about DC, in which we're going to get, finally, a Titans, or a new Teen Titans live-action series, as well as Young Justice. If you remember TNT, it's Dynamite! I can't even do that song because of my voice being so bad. So, the new Teen Titans was going to have a live-action series by TNT. So, this project was supposed to come out in 2014, and that kind of stalled. So, DC decided, hey, let's do our own stuff. So, the Teen Titans stuff is going to be made because we are getting a Robin, which includes Starfire, Raven, and who knows if we're going to get Beast, Cyborg, and Kid Flash. But if they do it like the new Teen Titans, like I got into with George Perez's take on it, which I remember growing up, and I read Teen Titans before, which they had Aqualad, Wonder Girl, Robin also was in the mix, but if they do it with that version, as I mentioned, with Stargirl and Raven, and that Teen Titans Go, which I hated at first, but I grew to love, I really want this to be done a la what they've done on CW. Berlanti is attached to this, so again, I'm expecting great stuff like he's done with Supergirl, Flash, Legends of Tomorrow, and Arrow. So, having said that, the animated side, the Young Justice series, which was going to be brought back, seems to be going to be part of this new digital platform that DC is going to be producing. And I'm like, that sounds interesting, except please don't do what CBS is doing with the all-access crap, like they're trying to do with Star Trek Discovery, and put it behind a paywall. Because honestly, if that's what you're going to be doing, and you're trying to start up this great platform, because honestly, DC, as much as Marvel has been killing it on, again, on the big screen, DC has so many great properties right now that's going to be on the small screen from, again, the CW shows that I just mentioned. We also have Gotham. There's Lucifer. There's iZombie. There's also, I believe, Preacher is part of Vertigo, which is part of DC's imprint. And now you're adding all this. I want this to be a big hit, but if they're going to think, oh, we can make mucho bucks off all this property, yes, you can, but not on top of the fact that if you're going to put this behind a wall with like CBS All Access, it's not going to work in that sense. So this is not HBO. This is not Hulu. This is not Netflix, where content is king. Yes, I grant that. But this is the kind of content that was kind of free and available right now, as is, to anyone. So you didn't need to have cable. As long as you had the digital rabbit ears, you can still get this. So we'll see what happens from this, but hey, I'm very happy to have Titans back. I'm very happy to have Young Justice back. It's just a matter of what's going to happen for us to see this, how that's going to happen. That's what's going to matter down the road. So that ends that portion. So let's get back into the marketing of the new Wonder Woman movie, or lack thereof. So today is technically April 30th. So we have about a month away in which we're going to see Wonder Woman. Now, about 2 weeks ago, I had to do some shopping last minute. Oh, it was Easter. And I remember going to Winn-Dixie, because I hate Winn-Dixie. So, because Publix, my supermarket, is closed. So I had to go there because it was open. And while I was shopping, I noticed that one of the soft drinks, Dr. Pepper, had an actual promo can of Wonder Woman. So I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool that I'm actually going to see this. Since I like Dr. Pepper, it's natural I would buy this. But I didn't. In about, maybe about last week, I needed to get my refill of popcorn. So Orville Redenbacher has Wonder Woman attached on its box. So if you go to their site and follow the instructions and download the app, you can actually do a Wonder Woman selfie, as well as put little Wonder Woman tiara or the logo or the Ares helmet on yourself. So of course, I don't like being in pictures. I did it of Kylo. So there's a picture of Kylo and Wonder Woman that I will be posting to my Instagram account. So if you're interested, you can go over there and find it. But I can see this going so wrong in so many ways in which you're taking a picture with Wonder Woman. But let's be wholesome about this. It's augmented reality, so, you know, you're kind of interacting with the image. Aside from that, the popcorn and the soda, I haven't seen much of anything lately, such as cereal or Pop-Tarts or any other over-the-top campaigns that they do. I mean, Batman versus Superman had two different types of cereals. So, depending on who you chose, you either get Batman or you get Superman. And either way, it was a horrible cereal. But the point here is that you don't need to go to the nth degree to push out the marketing for Wonder Woman. But on the same token, we're about a month out. And nothing's happened majorly in a sense of buzz that's out there. Now, that's before we get into the nitty-gritty. Next week is Guardians of the Galaxy. From a marketing point of view, I am not going to waste my money advertising, promoting Wonder Woman when this is going to be the big movie starting the summer off. So, it makes no sense to do this now. So, if I'm going to blow buku bucks, then I will do that 2 weeks from now. And then blitz the hell out of everything. Because after this, we have Alien Covenant, which is not necessarily in the exact same realm of Guardians of the Galaxy. But nonetheless, I would wait to do this after Guardians of the Galaxy. It makes more sense financially to do it that way. But again, once you do that, the danger lies is that you oversaturate the market. Now, considering that this is the first female superhero, I don't think you're going to be running into that problem. And I would push more about the whole empowering young women to feel that they are a part of this movie, to be their own Wonder Woman in their own story, and to speak to that kind of underserved audience. Not to say that me as a man or boys are not going to support Wonder Woman, because we'll go out there in droves. But if we remember Age of Ultron, the Black Widow figure gone was never part of that collector's set. Or Gamora from Guardians of the Galaxy two summers ago did not come in any package deal. I mean, yeah, you can get it later on, but we need to have a better president of marketing in that sense. So, you know, I would love to see a good Wonder Woman figure that I would love to have. Unfortunately, I don't want to open the box. I'll just keep it on my desk, and I'll get that. But I haven't either been looking for it, but when I do, I expect it to be on the shelves. So, but again, 2 weeks from now, I need to start seeing more things happening around the focus of Wonder Woman. But again, there gets to be a point in which you overdo things like Phantom Menace was way beyond the amount of promotional materials that were out there. But then again, there was no new Star Wars since 83. So it kind of makes sense to push, you know, all this material out there. But then the ramification afterwards is that the movie wasn't that great, even though it made its money. You had leftover toys, and then of course they scaled back in the following years. But I don't think this is going to happen. But when you see, you know, Wonder Woman Gal Gadot on the cover of Entertainment Weekly, and you'll see news articles coming out more and more, that's when you know it's going to full motion, full on press court of promoting Wonder Woman. So I'm not too worried about this at this point. I think, and considering how DC needs to have a win in their column, I don't think they're going to let the ball drop on this. On the same point, this is not like a disaster that's going to be like John Carter with its marketing, in which the premise takes place on Mars and you can't even promote the word Mars in your trailer. Wonder Woman is there. So, and of course, the big reveal later on is that Ares is going to be in this movie, supposedly, because there's the Ares helmet that was in the popcorn app. So I don't want to see him in a trailer. Like I said, when it gets to be two trailers in, I'm done. I don't want to see anything else. And I do my best to avoid it on television, or if I'm watching, streaming something online. You know, again, if it comes out, I turn the volume down or look away. I don't want to see it. But for those that are unlike me, that are not familiar with that title, or who the hell is Wonder Woman, but honestly, 75 years, and you still don't know who Wonder Woman is, even if you just grew up in the past 10 years, you should know who Wonder Woman is. That's how iconic this movie will be to all of us. We haven't had a Wonder Woman movie product a la live action like Linda Carter, but there's high hopes on this. Again, as I mentioned, DC needs a big win on this. They got okay on Suicide Squad to kind of get the ship back right. Wonder Woman could be move into the right direction to kind of go into Justice League and put DC back on the map. So, like I said, I'm not worried at this time. Trust the Force. Trust the wills of the Force. I am one with the Force. I'm one with the Wonder Woman. What have you. All right, so I am done. What the hell is a thun? I am done with this segment of the podcast. I'm going to take a quick break, but I'm going to be playing the trailer from The Handmaid's Tale from Hulu.
I was asleep before. That's how we let it happen. When they slaughtered Congress, we didn't wake up. When they blamed terrorists and suspended the Constitution, we didn't wake up then either. Now I'm awake. My name is Offred. I had another name.
Ladies, I have to let you go. It's the law now.
They needed to do it this way. All the bank accounts and the jobs all at the same time. You imagine the airports otherwise?
Run, run, run!
You girls will serve the leaders and their barren wives. You will bear children for them.
There's an eye in your house. We'll send you to the colonies. You'll be cleaning up toxic waste and then you'll die.
Celebration of Gilead and of what we have achieved.
We only wanted to make the world better.
Better? Better never means better for everyone.
We want to keep on living for her.
Remember your scripture. Blessed are the meek.
And blessed are those who suffer for the cause of righteousness.
Okay, so, like I said, I've only watched the first episode, and on Hulu, when it was released this past Wednesday, put three episodes online, so that was kind of cool. So, the first episode is entitled Offred, the second one is Birthday, and the third one is called Late. So, what's great about this, because, again, I try to keep a lot of information out of my head about what was going to happen in the trailers and the series, so I pretty much kept it quiet, but I knew of the series, and of course, Elizabeth Moss, fantastic. If you watched her in Mad Men, and there was another great movie that was recommended, that's called The One I Love, which came out in 2014, so that was a recommendation from a dear friend, hi Barbara, thank you for that. So, what's great about this is that if people thought that 1984 and the fear of Big Brother was going to be the new norm, this movie, this book, seems to be a little bit more in line with what is going on with current environments. So, one of the things that a trailer, if you heard it, you hear there is a protest, like a women's march, which actually was done, I think, the day after the inauguration of the Orange One. So a lot of things play into the exact same parallels. But in the beginning of this first episode, we see the character, which is named Offred in the book, is escaping, I guess, I'm not sure if it's her husband or... it may not be that the case, but she's trying to escape with her daughter. So, as they're being pursued by the police, they get into a car accident. They're okay, but the husband tells them to run while he fends off the police. Of course, you hear in the distance, he gets shot. She tries to hide as best as she can, and unfortunately, she gets caught. Then the next thing we see after that, it's her in a room, in the full red garb with the white hat. I'm not sure what's the right term for that hat, but it's covering her head. And it's a lot of monologuing that she's talking about how she got here and how we see throughout the whole first episode flashbacks about how she got to that point. And I'm kind of going to be jumping ahead, but until the very end episode, we get the name of the character, which I guess has never been revealed, according to an article I read in the book called June. But what's fascinating about this is that because she's been separated from her daughter, and along the way she's kind of remembering that she has to kind of keep things together in order to get through what she has to do in order to get her daughter back. I'm all on board with her as a character. Not for one moment that I'm thinking, oh, as a female, I will never get this. I will never be able to relate. As a character, I am so ingrained to wanting her to win with all these different odds that are in the way and everything that she encountered along the way, like Aunt Lydia, which is heinous to me. But what she has been going through, what she had to do, but she is still fighting. Inside of her, she is still having this fight to go on. That, I think, is incredible. So, in the coming episodes, as it was alluded into the trailers, we will see how the events about how all this unfolded, as well as her getting through with the events that she has to face in order to hopefully get her daughter back. But I am really super engaged with this one episode. So I'm eager to go read the book when this is done. Perhaps I'll talk about that on my library podcast on page 49. But this is a very compelling story, great performances. And it's a kind of world building that right off the bat, you didn't have to have, you know, special effects up the wazoo. You just have color schemes and this, the mise-en-scene, the whole setting being done in such a perfect way that you believe that, yes, this is a future, but it seems to be a possible future that makes it even more believable. So kudos to Margaret Atwood to have written this book, who, and I was, again, reading this article, does make a cameo in here, and I didn't realize in the story, in the first episode, she's the one that smacks June for not responding to the others that were doing the exact same thing. So she gets smacked by Margaret Atwood to act like the others. I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool, but also kind of creepy. But nonetheless, if Hulu lost me with, again, a lot of content that just was lost because the licensing just ended, I'm going to be staying with them for at least for the next 9 more episodes. So they have my money until then. But I am very happy with this. So kudos, major kudos for making this a worthy series to watch, because I'm all in with kind of dystopian futures. I'm very kind of a Debbie Downer. I'm very much so. But it's those kind of depressing moments that you root for the hero to win, and I want June to win. So I'm not going to get anything more spoilery about the episode, except you have to watch it. I highly recommend it. So that's enough of me yammering, because again, I've done enough already for the past 2 days. So I'm going to end things for right now. So next week, we'll have another edition of the Sci-Fi News Podcast, plus Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 is going to be coming out, so I'll be super excited. And Gene, you better watch the movie so we can talk about this and make another podcast. So that's my goal for next week, is to get us together and record this, because it's been long coming since the last podcast we did on Logan. Oh, speaking of which, of Logan, it's coming back, I think, May 16th, back to the theaters, but as a black and white version. So that I'm excited for, to see this again, but in black and white. All right. So on that note, hey, thank you very much for listening to me and to this podcast. And if you are like me, I have discovered now the pleasures of Uber Eats. I had Night Owl cookies on Friday, and then yesterday I ordered chicken. So thanks to Uber Eats, I got a discount that I'm going to share with you in my show notes. So if you want, you can get a discount as well. So, but if you're listening to this podcast, I'm not going to say what it is. You just have to read it in the show notes, and that's however way you're going to get my podcast. So if you get it, I'll get a discount too, and that'll be a way of me knowing that you actually are listening to the podcast and hopefully supporting me in the process as well. Thank you very much for following me. Look at my pictures on Instagram, because again, I took a picture of my cat with Wonder Woman using the Orville Redenbacher app. And then, of course, email me at monstersci-fi show@gmail.com. And don't forget to subscribe to my podcast through iTunes, Stitcher, and wherever you get your podcast from. So, with that said, thank you very much for listening to the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast. Sci-fi from a certain point of view. Good night.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.